Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom he died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you.
In Luke 21, beginning in verse 33, speaking of the last days in which I believe, my friend, that we're living in. In fact, I don't think I've met too many people that would argue with that. Jesus says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves," verse 34, Luke 21, "and take heed to yourselves." Notice the personal responsibility Jesus places on you and on me. It's a very important point there, friends. So many people depend upon a pastor or a religion, and it's a lot easier to do that because it takes no personal responsibility to just go with the, you know, the rank and file, you know, going to church, quote unquote, a couple of times a week and feel like that, you know, you have insurance against the day to come. That's probably one of the most deceptive, worst places that you could possibly be found in when you die, whether you die before he comes or you meet him in the spiritual state that you meet him in when he comes. A lot of folks, Jesus said, many, not a few, but are going to make excuses and all kinds of reasons why they should be accepted into his eternal kingdom. And he's going to say, "Depart from me, you work of iniquity. I never you." Matthew 1 through 20. To Jesus,
friend, I wanted to ask you to consider whether or not you're serving God on his terms or on your terms. I often am engaged in relationships and conversations with people that, you know, swear up and down that they're Christians and they have a form of godliness, and some of them really are Christians, some of them aren't. Now, I hear a lot of people who I believe are highly deceived that come off with things like, "Well, I believe this, well, I believe that." They have no biblical backing, no biblical stance, no biblical platform for why they believe that. They don't even bother to cite the Bible. You see, these people are and have created a system of religion, even though they call themselves even spirit-filled, full gospel, prophetic, or whatever the flavor is. They've created a God in their own image. They're serving another Jesus, one that is something other than what the biblical revelation reveals him to be. And they're serving God on their own terms, not on his terms. See, Jesus said, "If you're ashamed of me and of my words, in this adulterous and sinful generation, of you also will I be ashamed when I come of my Father with his holy angels." There's no way that I could possibly overemphasize or convey to you, my dear friend, how important it is that you make sure you are serving God on his terms, not on your own. It's going to be too late for literally millions upon millions that live here in the Western world and all over the world who claim to be Christians and read their Bible and go to church, but they really haven't yielded their heart over to the Lord. And I'm talking about people, for the most part, which I believe God is most concerned about,
who have at one point been saved, been genuinely saved, but they didn't remain in Christ. When temptation and trials came, they fell away. The Son of God himself invented the term fall away, my friend. He said you could be saved and in time of and walk with God for a while, for whatever time period that might be, a week, a month, a year, a day, you know, years, 10 years, decade, it doesn't matter. And you could walk with God, and in the time of temptation, you could fall away. Why? Because you're not rooted and grounded in Christ. You're not choosing to make Christ your first love. You found something else that you've allowed your heart to be drawn away into. See, the scripture says God's not tempted with evil, but man is tempted with evil. The Bible says no, God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempts he any man. The Lord is drawing you, my friend, to himself. But if you allow yourself to be drawn away by your own lust, which James 1, 13 through 15 says, it says, but no, God's not drawing any man away from him. He cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But we are drawn away. Men are drawn away by their own lust and enticed. And then when lust has conceived, because you didn't deal with it in your mind and heart, it bringeth forth sin, where you actually commit the sin after you've allowed it to germinate in your heart. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death, or spiritual separation from God. I got news for you. I don't care what your theology says. If you die in sin, you're going to hell forever. I don't care if you led a billion people to Jesus, and you were the best pastor in the world. If you die separated from God because you're living in sin, you're going to hell and there will be no return. Anyone who reasons around that is not acting, thinking, and conducting themselves according to Holy Scripture. They are leaning to their own understanding. They're wise in their own conceit. They've got false notions and false doctrine in their mind and heart. And they're not obeying God by letting his word be a lamp unto their feet and a light unto their path. Ezekiel 33, verse 12 and 13 tells us that if the righteous man turns from his righteousness and goes into living in sin, in the day that he goes back into sin, in that day, all of his righteousnesses of the past, no matter what they are and were, the righteousness of God, will not be remembered. He's going to forfeit all of the eternal rewards that God has laid up for him for labor during the time that he was walking with the Lord. Jesus said you've got to abide in him or you will be cut off like a branch that's withered and will be cast into the fire. Believe Jesus at his words. Cast off, get rid of, let the washing of water by the word of God get rid of the filthy Calvinistic, demonic, diabolical lies that tell you it's okay to live in sin. Listen, friend, I'm a Christian. I've been a Christian for 26 years at this point. By the grace of God, he found and saved my wretched soul. And I have sinned here or there in my Christian life. Did I have to? No. I chose to. It was wrong, and it was sin. Period. If you're saved, you probably have somewhat the same general testimony. But we've got to be honest. We cannot deceive ourselves and expect to go to heaven. You see, the deceitfulness of sin is a term used in Hebrews chapter 3. It's better to be honest about it. God can deal with an honest person. The passage we were referencing earlier, Luke 8, 12 through 15, the parable of the sower and the word, dealing with the types of heart that the word of God falls upon, the last of the four types of soil is the man who, out of a good and honest heart, brings forth fruit with patience or perseverance all the way to the end. Jesus said you have to endure to the end to be saved. He told his own 12 original apostles that. So why wouldn't that apply to you and me? It's absurd to think that doesn't apply to you and I. It's Matthew 10:22. He promised that you will be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Paul didn't believe that he was somehow unconditionally, eternally secure. He said, I keep under my body, lest by any means, after I've preached and done ministry to others, I myself should become a castaway. Paul knew that his own eternal soul was going to be in jeopardy if he didn't keep under the deeds of the body. The Bible says that we have an old man and an old nature that is deceitful, is corrupt, according to the deceitful lust, Ephesians 4:22. It's got to be crucified with the daily cross, my friend. You've got to die, man. That's the answer. If you've got any problems in your life, any sin problems, I should say, there's one reason. You're not dead. You're not practically dying to yourself daily. That's the same problem I have. When I look in the mirror, if you will, of the Word, I see the problem. It's not the devil so much as it's me. God is greater than Satan. And if I'm doing what God called me to do, let's be honest, confess my sin, deny myself, take up my cross, and follow Christ. The power of God is raising me up, and Satan has no dominion in my life, and the blessed divine resurrection power is bringing forth victory in everything in my life, hallelujah, including overcoming all iniquity and being fruitful in the kingdom of God, winning people to Christ, building the kingdom of God in the hearts of men by speaking His truth in love. Hallelujah. Is that where you're at right now, my friend? Are you bearing fruit to the glory of God? Jesus spoke about fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. That's what happens when you are truly abiding in Christ according to His Word. That means on His terms, not yours. Would today not be a good day for you to confess that you've done things your own way? You've had other gods before the one true God, the one who made you, the one whose breath is on loan to you today and keeps you alive, the one who came to the earth and lived a sinless life, born of the Holy Ghost in the womb of a virgin, and died shedding His divine blood on the altar of the cross to redeem you. He found you. He saved you. He gave you a new song, a song of His blessed salvation, and set your feet upon a rock and said, for you called you to surrender. You did at His wooing when He found you. And now He's calling you to let there be a foundation built in your life of truth. It's not enough to get saved. You need to be discipled. You need to submit yourself to God in a real way. Forget going to church. God never said to go to church. He said, just don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Okay? Get together with other believers. That doesn't have to be on Sunday morning in some so-called church building. Why wait till Sunday anyway? Get in the Word every day, my friend. You see, one man who served God in the past said something I really like. He said, either this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. If you're not in the Word of God, the Word of God is not getting in you, and you're living in sin. Jesus said, if you're following Him, it's daily. He qualified it. He said, you must deny yourself. Die. Lay down your life. Forget the past, friend. Lay it down today. Get on your face literally today and cry out to the living God in full surrender. That's what repentance is. That's what putting your faith in Jesus is all about. Turn your life around. Stop deceiving yourself into thinking everything's okay. Proverbs 28:13 says, he that covereth his sins, he that hides them, or tries to hide them, shall not prosper. But whosoever confesses and forsaketh them shall have mercy. That's the two different kind of people we have in the world. And in the so-called church world, the kingdom of God, which is filled with tares, that the angels are going to separate on that final day. They're wise virgins and foolish virgins. The wise will be in heaven and at the marriage supper of the Lamb, and eternally be with our Lord Jesus Christ. And the foolish virgins who did not remain in fellowship with Jesus will be forever vanquished into the flames of eternal damnation. Proverbs 28:13. I want you to memorize that. I want you to write that on an index card. Come on, man. People think, listen, people talk about not knowing Scripture. Why? Because you haven't chosen to know it. You got a brilliant brain if you're listening to me. I guarantee you. But you're applying it somewhere and you're not applying it in other places. Why? You're applying it where your heart is. You know all the football coaches and quarterbacks and the basketball players. You know the baseball players. You know many of you know the foolish, evil, filthy, sinful singers of our day. You got all that memorized. You got lyrics to songs memorized. So you have the ability to memorize. But hey, you're not going to accidentally memorize Scripture. You're going to have to deliberately make a point to do it. And if you call the minister, and by the way, if you're saved, you're called a minister, then the only thing to be doing is getting into God's Word every day, submitting yourself to God fresh every day and all through the day, and getting in the Word of God so the Word of God can get in you, so that's all that comes out of you. You don't have any fluff. You don't have any religious notions and systems of theology. You've got just a pure stream of the beautiful river of life of God's Word flowing into your spirit every day in your heart and out in the love of God to others to build up the body of Christ and to win folks to Jesus. God told Ezekiel, "Speak with my words unto them." You're not wiser than God. Okay? Speak, use God's Word. Get God's Word in you so that it comes out of you. God's Word's not going to come out of you if you don't get it in you. And that word is going to do a lot of things, including circumcise your own heart. You're going to have the washing of water by the word. Ephesians 5:26. Jesus said in John 15:3 that to those that he's talking about abiding in him, the necessity of abiding in him. He says what? He says, "Now are you clean through the word that I've spoken unto you." Hallelujah. See, if you're not in the word, you're not being cleansed by the Lord. It's time to repent, friend, because you're your own idol. When you get up in the morning, there's only one thing to do, and I mean militantly. Whether you feel like it or not, if you're going to serve God, you get up, and the only thing you do is you speak and sing praise to the Lord. You have time in praise and in prayer to the Lord your God. In thanksgiving, I don't care if your bank account is $1 million in the negative. If you got Christ, you got everything, and you got a myriad of things to be thankful for. So get them coming out of your mouth. Get those hands up. Get that heart lifted up to the Lord. Get in God's Word so God's Word can get in you. Listen, there are some listening to me right now, tragically, that are going to be in the bowels of hell having heard this message. Oh yeah, you were saved at one point, but you found everything else in the world to be before Jesus. You're lukewarm. You are going to be spewed out of the mouth of the Lord. You will not enter the kingdom of heaven because you refuse to put God first. You refuse to repent and make Jesus the first love of your life. But there's others listening to me that the holy fear of God is quickening you. And God wants you to move on that fear in obedience. Just like Noah, who was moved with the fear of God to obey God. I don't want to hear your lip service. God doesn't want to hear your stupid lip service. Let us not love in word or tongue, but in deed and in truth. 1 John 3:18. Also, James 1:22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. To the degree that you're a doer of God's word, to that degree are you his. To that degree, that determines whether or not you're his or not, actually. You see, 1 John 2, verse 4 says, "He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." Could it be any clearer? He that saith, I know, he that claims to be saved, but yet keeps not the commandments of God, does not walk in with the Lord, because you don't love the Lord. You love yourself. Oh, you think you love the Lord. You act like you love the Lord. You go to church as if God ever is worried about that. That doesn't impress God. He never told anybody to go to church in the scriptures. He said, follow me. Those who go to church, in 99.9% of the cases, they let the pastor do the work for them. They find comfort in just herding themselves in with the other cattle, sitting in a church service, as we call it, and hearing a nice little message that makes them feel good about themselves, throwing a little money in a plate, a basket, or whatever, and then going about their own life. You're going to hell, man. That is a form of godliness, while you're denying the power or the authority of God to rule in your life. That's the recipe for eternal damnation. How many people in hell right now do you think they're experiencing horrible torment beyond the worst torment we could ever imagine on this earth? Excruciating conscience torment. How many of them do you think wish they had 1 second back on earth to have a breath to breathe and cry out for Jesus to save them? How many of them are going to live for eternity in hell? It'll never end, by the way, in the prison of fire, and be tormented with the anguish and misery and regret of knowing that they were saved by Christ, but they didn't continue to the end. They didn't continue or abide. Abide means continue in Christ. They allowed other things. They didn't guard their heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Proverbs 4:23. I'm pleading with you, friend. Truly repent. You see, the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Proverbs 14:27. Now listen to what Jesus says in Luke 19:27. Jesus says, he identifies his enemies. He says, those mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring them here, this is the judgment, and slay them before me. You see, there are many that are going to be slain down into eternal damnation because they did not allow Jesus to reign in their personal lives. You're not going to fool the Lord, my friend. You might fool men. You might fool ungodly wolf hireling pastors. You see, they don't mind. They don't care what you're doing in your daily life. They don't really have the heart of the Lord. They're not concerned like Paul was that you really have a relationship with the Lord and you're living holy before. They don't care. They just care that you're one of their nickels, noses, and numbers. Or one of them, their numbers, because you got a nose, you're a person, and you're throwing your nickel or your money in to the plate, and you're patronizing their little local church business franchise, if you will. They don't care about your eternal soul. They're going to hell themselves. Why are you following them? Follow Christ, man. They don't have nail-scarred hands and feet. Jesus says his enemies right here in Luke 19:27. I want you to memorize this verse. I want you to highlight it. I want you to go show somebody else this verse. I want you to read it every day over and over and get it in your spirit and cry out to God based on his word, this word. Those mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring them hither and slay them before me. Jesus is going to cut down into hell all who claim to know him and yet do not allow him to reign in their daily lives. They're not denying themselves. They're denying Christ. You're either denying self or denying the Savior. It can't be both. No man can serve two masters. Who are you serving? Those mine enemies, which would not that I, they didn't allow me to reign over them, bring them hither and slay them before me. This is exactly what Paul spoke about when he read a resume, a prophetic resume, of what the Holy Spirit showed him would be the condition of men's hearts in the very final days. These are men that claim to be saved. They have a form of godliness. They have a formula. They go to church. They even read their Bible sometime and pray. Throw up a few prayers asking the Lord to bless the finances or something. But they don't have a real abiding relationship with Christ. They have a mere form of godliness, a facade. But they deny the power thereof. What does that mean? They deny the authority of Christ to reign, keyword, in their daily lives. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 7. Paul says other things about this this generation of people that call themselves Christians. And that's that they're lovers of their own selves. Verse 2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Let's just back up into verse 1. We'll finish with this passage. Jesus says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, coveting the things of this world, coveting other people, coveting riches and fame and power and anything other than Christ. It's an idol. It's a spiritual, it's the sin of spiritual idolatry. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful. When's the last time you gave God thanks for all the blessings, the myriad of blessings in your life? When is the last time you had a little personal praise festival where you threw your hands and your heart and you engaged your lips to verbalize, externalize your praise and thanksgiving to God? Don't let midnight strike tonight, beloved, without having a praise festival of your own. There's a myriad. There's innumerable, unlimited things for you to give God praise for. Disobedient to parents. The Bible says honor your father and mother. That doesn't mean you got to follow their religious, false religion or anything else. Just honor them. They're your parents. Love them. Give them honor. No one gets the honor God gets in our lives. The first commandment says, you shall have no other gods before me. And that includes you and your family and your parents. God has to come first. But we should honor our parents. And we see very little of that today, especially with the younger generation. Blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Doesn't matter how much of a format or formula of religion and evangelicalism or spirit-filled so-called Christianity you have. If you're unholy in your thoughts, God sees that. You haven't drawn nigh to Him enough, Him who is holy, 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 to have that stuff circumcised out of your life. Therefore, we know that you're not abiding in Christ to the saving degree. Okay? That's what we must conclude by the whole counsel of God. You're not abiding in Christ to the degree that you're really saved. You're going to die with sin in your heart. Jesus said if you even look on a woman or a man to lust, you've already committed adultery in your heart. Listen, God is able to cause you to have the divine to overcome all of that in everything. There may be a sin in your life that you're just pulling your hair out about, don't know how you're going to overcome. Well, I can tell you this, if you submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, he will flee you. Are you saying that God's power isn't great enough to overcome that sin? Of course it's great enough. There is no limit to the power of God. What's the problem? You're not dying to self. Beloved, go on a fast. What are you waiting for? How many weeks, months, and years are you going to allow that sin to reign in your mortal body? Yield yourself and your body an instrument of righteousness unto God. Go on a fast. A complete fast where you're only drinking water. Start with a meal if you've never done it. You need to be fasting. Every Christian does. Jesus said when you fast, not if you fast. Go on a fast and get before God. Not just fasting, but fasting and praying and seeking God with all your heart, pouring over the Holy Scriptures. Get ready, because God's going to break every yoke according to Isaiah 58. Go to Isaiah 58 before, during, and after you fast. And spend time, quality time, with the Lord during that concentrated time. Whether you're going to skip a meal, a day of eating, 2 days, 3 days, it's not going to kill you. Are you kidding? We need it. All of us need it. We eat too much. And that's exactly what Jesus goes on to talk about in Luke 21, 34 through 36, that many are going to be found when he comes back weighed down with surfeiting. Okay? Weighed down with surfeiting. Consumed with too much eating. Too much feeding the flesh. Okay? I'll finish with this. Hosea 10, verse 12 says, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. Sow to yourselves in righteousness. Sow to yourselves in righteousness. Break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord until he come and rain righteousness upon you. Hosea 10:12. I want to encourage you also, if you'd like, to visit safeguardyoursoul.com, a website set up to edify the body of Christ. God bless you.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcast on safeguardyoursoul.com /audios. There's also a store page with many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture rich and Christ centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month. And your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site. And you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so. And a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together, in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.